It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiver. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Going to put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it. It's there. Hardman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan.
Oh, man, I've missed hearing that, man.
On 99.5 HD2 on the YouTube channel, on Twitch for the kids. Or should I say, Guten Morgen?
The heck?
Yeah, sure.
It's the Germany game in the NFL this morning.
Berlin.
So I believe Munich.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I read that Roger Goodell was working hard on the Berlin game. My apologies.
I believe Munich is where they're playing this morning. A vaunted matchup between the 2-7 New York Giants and the 2-7 Carolina Panthers. Now that's a good looking pretzel right there.
That, do they know that 2-7 is bad?
The Germans? Yeah. They don't care.
Can they flex a game out of Germany?
Yeah, right.
Or London game and move a couple other teams into it?
We want Panthers and Giants. And Giants goofing.
There are Jaguars, yeah.
The Jags are the London team.
Oh, then who is technically the Germany team?
I don't know.
Okay.
Any team that's 2-7.
They can have
the Germany team.
They can have the Panthers at this point. How many games in Germany have they had now? This is game number
three or four?
Question mark? I'm Ron Burgundy.
It's great if you're a German fan, if you're an English fan, right? It's awesome. It's football. It's American football.
In football.
And I'm going to get up and go. And mind you, they don't have to get up super early like we do to watch this game. Like, this game is really happening for them at, like, it's like 5 o'clock, you know, in the evening right now.
It's their day.
Them. Well, what cracks me up, too, is that, you know, the East Coast, when they have these international games, they're like, wow, having NFL at, like, 9:30, this is great.
This is awesome.
You're like, welcome.
We know.
Yeah. Yeah.
We know it's awesome.
Being on the West Coast, like, here's the advantage. Football starts at 10 o'clock in the morning. Like, most of us are just waking up right around on a Sunday, right around 9:30 or 10, get some coffee, walk the dog, do whatever you have to do.
Get a little egg Sammy in you.
You know, get a little Sando in you, and then 10 o'clock, either you're on Red Zone or you're on whatever local station you want to watch your team on. And that's pretty much what we're doing from 10 a.m. till about maybe 8 p.m. But if you're on the East Coast, though, like,
I couldn't do it.
1 o'clock, and then you're pretty much watching football till 9?
Yeah.
Till 10? Till 11?
Oh, 11, I mean,
like, are wives happy with
11?
That?
11? Oh,
like, no. I feel like the evening is kind of the point where, like, you turn it off.
Marriages
like,
have been ruined because of this.
Yeah, football all day, but 8 p.m. comes. It's like, all right, honey, can we watch a show now? Can we watch something I want to watch? And if that's not happening all up and down the East Coast.
I'll be honest.
I want to watch The Voice.
I'll be honest. That's kind of me. I might lean on the side of wives and girlfriends because usually for me, and I think I've said this, by 4 o'clock, 3:30, I'm kind of burnt out on football. Especially if I'm watching Red Zone or something like that or watching a game, it's like, man, I've been watching this for like 5 hours.
You know what?
I think I'm ready to watch anything else.
You know what my new favorite thing to do is on football Sundays is, you know, watch the 10 a.m. slate. Watch the first half of the 1 p.m. games.
A little Napo.
Take a nap.
Yeah.
And then wake up right before kickoff or NFL Sunday. Because also, it's a nice little surprise. Like, you watch that first half of the Sunday games in the 1 o'clock slate, and you're like, all right, this team's winning. This team's up. This is happening here. And then you wake up, And then God only knows what happens. You look at the scoreboard and you see who won and what, and you're like, wait, what the F happened?
So I got to ask you guys questions. You know, how often do you check your fantasy scores from 10 a.m. until the evening game?
Well, maybe I don't play fantasy anymore.
You bet real money now.
Yes. And boy, JoJo had a good weekend last weekend.
That's awesome.
Schultzy did not.
Had a nice little weekend. And I need to stop talking about it because that's going to now balance itself out. Seriously. With a bad little weekend.
No, literally after my Ducks win, it went the other way. So good luck. Enjoy your success, Joe. In about 2 days, you're going to be looking at a zero.
I'm taking a look right now. I'm taking a look at some tasty lines, some tasty over-under numbers. I will say, though, the one game last week that I should not have won money on was the Titans-Patriots. Did you watch the end of that game?
Yeah, what the hell, bro?
I did.
They hit the over because...
No, they didn't.
Oh, no, they still didn't hit the over?
No, they didn't. I was watching the game intently because I had money on that, and it was, I believe
the Patriots did cover, though. Congratulations.
It was
I appreciate it. I guess we'll take that.
It was 17-10. And I think the over-under was 38.5. And I'm like, all right, well, the only way this screws me is if they tie the game and it goes to overtime, and then it's a touchdown that is scored in overtime. And Drake May, with the most ridiculous touchdown, tying touchdown I've ever seen, just running for his life, damn near getting sacked, and then just throwing up the ball, and Ramondre Stevenson is right there to tie the game. And then in overtime, the Titans are just marching down the field.
Why are we talking about this game? I don't understand.
And then they felt, because you missed last week, Garrett.
Are you trying to torture me? Like,
you missed last week.
I think we all got a little
and
tortured.
And you didn't give me picks last week.
Oh, I don't think I was in a mind space to give anybody picks.
You could have gone, hey, maybe that would have been the winning.
LSU over the Raiders.
That would have been a winning formula.
you, over-under.
You being sick and not in your right headspace might have given yourself a 3-0 week. You never know.
Yeah.
Are we going to have to do this again where you go through the games last week and you give me, I would have picked this.
Yeah, but be honest. Yeah, you know. No. Oh, I'm 3-0, baby.
Because I'm for sure going 3-0 last week.
How many games do you think we've played in Germany so far? I want an exact number.
For this year or just total?
Total.
I'm going to say two or three.
I'll go one more and say four.
Today is technically the fourth game. In the German history of the NFL. The first one was 2 years ago, 2022. Seahawks, Bucks. We also had the Chiefs, Dolphins last year. Good for them. And then last year is the Colts, Patriots. Not good for them. 10-6. My God. That would be...
How embarrassing.
Very frustrating.
How embarrassing. Seriously, if you're a new fan, right? Because if you're living in Munich, you're living in London, the football you watch isn't the football we watch, right? And so you're expecting, and you're probably used to 1-0 games that end in ties or, you know, whatever the case is. So to come to an NFL game and you're expecting to see a lot of scoring, a lot of touchdown celebrations, whatever, and the game ends in like 10-6.
Punt, 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 turnover,
boo.
Punt.
Boo. I'd be so frustrated. I'm not buying another ticket to this. And then I'm sure the NFL is really getting over with the ticket prices. And how much is a ticket for this Munich game right now?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's a pretty penny.
Let's look that up, man.
How many euros? They use euros in Germany?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 100 and see, this
they
was
have
announced.
Their own currency in Germany.
This was announced back on June 11th, but they have different categories of tickets. And we're looking at, like, you know, 150 euros on average, down to 65 euros you could even get a ticket for. So,
well, it is the Giants Panthers. I mean, but they don't know any better.
No.
They'd be like, ooh, NFL, and I pay premium price.
I don't think they could have chosen
two
worse
teams. There are
people
at this Giants game right now wearing Ravens jerseys and wearing every other jersey that's not the team that's actually playing.
Daniel Jones, run the touchdown in. Yes.
Fun little factoid here. International marketing and expansion. The NFL announced the International Home Marketing Areas Initiative in 2022, where 25 NFL teams have been selected to freely market their team across 8 countries.
That's pretty cool.
But it looks like this list I have is more than 8 countries. But yeah, certain teams are trying to plant their flag in specific countries. So like the Dolphins, they're trying to claim Argentina. They're also trying to claim Columbia.
A lot of Latin fans in Miami, so that makes sense.
The Eagles, they're trying to have a foothold in Ghana.
Let's go.
They want Ghana. The Browns want Nigeria. There's five teams in Switzerland. The Bears and Dolphins trying to claim Spain. The Rams, they're trying to get South Korea. The Cowboys, they want North Korea.
Oh, it's a shocker.
Let's see.
The Cowboys really want North Korea?
No. North Korea's not on
I was going to say.
The Fighting Cooper Rushes.
That shocks me.
Uzbekistan. No, I'm kidding. Let's see what else is on here. China. The Rams want China. The Rams want China and Japan. How about that? The Rams are just trying to take over Asia, really.
Yeah.
They're trying to become the Asian Rams.
That's smart. That's probably where a lot of the cash is.
Is Machine Gun Kelly doing a halftime show in Munich?
Why are we doing this? I mean, why
is it their version of Machine Gun Kelly or is it ours?
Luger Kelly?
Yeah. So,
yeah, exactly.
Either way, I don't like it.
I don't like it either. And personally, I don't. I mean, kudos to Machine Gun Kelly's agent, but damn him. Machine Gun Kelly, I just know. We don't need him anymore.
That Kurt Warner's a handsome fellow, though. Look at him.
He's a stud muffin. Yeah, that's Silver Fox.
Yeah. Just for Men.
That's what I think we all kind of hope to resemble.
Yeah.
Like right now, I've got all these grays in my beard, but they're just kind of all scattered grays. They're not like, if you look closely in the camera, they're not all together.
Yeah, that's
hopefully
gross.
At one point they will be.
I mean, he was a sexy old, like, older quarterback. Like, he had the silver going in his beard until he got knocked the hell out of the league, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
it was the Saints was that actually knocked him out, right?
So he was stressed out a lot.
I was going to say, what bagging groceries will do to a dude. I mean, you're throwing touchdown passes 1 week, and then you're bagging groceries the next.
Did you read his autobiography?
Is that the greatest story of like, rags to riches as far as NFL that you've ever heard?
He actually had a very stressful beginning, man. Trying to, like, hang on in the CFL and the AFL. The dude literally played arena football until he could get a job as, what, the fourth-string quarterback on the Green Bay Packers to sneak into the league? Yeah, Kurt Warner is one of the best stories of success and perseverance of all time.
I'm more of a Romo story fan.
Well, yeah, drop the snap, Romo. Yeah. And then become a great
Romo
announcer.
Romo did have hot Jessica Simpson for a little bit. Let's not forget. And hot Carrie Underwood, was it as well?
Yeah,
I believe so. I mean, take your pick.
Like, really. he was well before
he was in his bag.
Patrick Mahomes. Like, he really had, he had all the baddies at his game at a point. And Jessica Simpson, at one point, like, I don't know what she looks like now, but I can tell you what she looked like in 2001, 2005, and it was pretty legit.
Oh, that's peak Jessica Simpson.
Man,
yes,
that's
it was.
Absolutely.
That was Employee of the Month Jessica Simpson, I believe, with Dane Cook, right?
I think a little bit after that, but either way, I mean, guy was on fire.
Hey.
Could not be stopped.
He really couldn't.
Although,
to Romo.
Yeah, no, he did. He just got the best and he kind of moved on.
And then
he
married 2008 Miss Missouri USA, so he just kept it rolling. He kept the train rolling.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
And if you're Miss anything USA or globally, then you're... You're probably a 9.5 to about a 12.
Well, not now, but used to be.
I don't know.
We're starting to get a little woke, apparently, in these competitions, but yeah.
Well, we want to know if they're smart, right?
I mean, smart is attractive.
Yeah, we need to know that, you know, that's what the judges want to see.
Well, I think the term sapiosexual actually exists for a reason. It's
what are we talking about
attracted
right now?
To intelligence.
What's going on?
I don't know.
What just happened?
I really don't even know.
Damn it, Jordan.
It's my fault.
With your right-wing politics...
What?
Just because he wins this week.
Just because I said that something's going...
Trying to make it political now.
No, just because I said something's a little woke doesn't mean that I'm just a hardcore right winger.
I will say Tavon Austin also dated Kim Kardashian, but who didn't? I think I dated Kim Kardashian
for a couple weeks. Like,
yeah.
There
might be some videos online of me and her, but don't look that up. But yeah, we're in Germany. Well, we're not, but that'd be cool.
That actually would be.
You've been to Germany before?
I've never left the country. I'm scared.
So in high school, well, after high school, we took a trip to London, Scotland, stuff like that. Got a chance to see Braveheart's grave, which was pretty dope.
Wait, that was a real story?
Yeah, yeah. Yes. William Wallace, very
Mel
real.
Mel Gibson died over there?
He did, man. He did. But we went to Germany for like 5 days or something like that. And mind you, we're just turning 18, most of us, and so we can drink, right?
Yeah,
right? and find out that the Germans enjoy a room temperature beer.
Well, I mean, yeah. Beers are not, I mean, not really room temperature, but they say that like a good craft beer, good beer, you do not want to put it in a cold, frosty mug.
Everything was very much like room temperature. That like, this is pretty warm. And they serve beer at McDonald's. That was pretty.
That's not surprising.
Yeah. They serve hot dogs.
That's the least surprising beer. German fact I've ever heard.
I am right out on room temperature beer.
It was not. I'll be honest. It was not fun to drink.
It doesn't sound.
It was not fun to
drink. Now, room temperature. Yeah, that's a little aggressive.
No.
But
no, but I need it like 37 degrees.
Seriously, it was about what we would consider room temperature. Ugh. Not like a cool room. Like sometimes you get a soda or a beer, and it's like it's not in the refrigerator, but it's still pretty. You know, still pretty
cold. It's kind of
like,
cold.
Kind of cold. That was not the case. Ugh. You know, at all. It was like, and mind you, that might be different now, but at that time. Back in 01 is like this is really warm. I'm gonna drink it, but no wonder why they win all the beer drinking competitions.
I'm pretty sure Coors Light is a sponsor, so when I say this, I mean this in the most endearing way possible. Is that I love that their selling point is our beer's really cold.
Ditto.
Yeah.
It's like, isn't that? I love it. I was like, isn't part of that process on us to make sure it's cold? It's like, no.
We're gonna do it for
it. It will always be cold
when this turns blue.
Yeah.
You got action.
Well, they own Miller too now, and their Miller High Life, when it is ice cold in my little like dorm room style fridge up in my office
let's
at home.
Go. The champagne, the champagne.
Champagne of beer. Beers indeed.
All right. Let's get into it, shall we? Since it is an 8 a.m. show, we'll start with college football this time around. Let's not waste any time. We'll talk about our Ducks, our Beavs. Let's take a look at the college football playoff landscape now, because we did have a top 12 upset. We almost had two top 12 upsets, and Utah is just full of piss and vinegar this morning. They were robbed, says their athletic director. Did you see this last night, Rashad?
I did not see this last night. I fell asleep pretty early last night.
Oh, yeah. You told me you did. Yeah. You sure did. I'm glad you got your 12 hours in.
Man, needed it.
But yeah, Utah is just pissed. But one team should have lost last night, but they didn't. They escape again. But also, I just wanted to take a look at how things stand, because also the SEC is going to be an absolute mess the rest of this season. And then in the second hour, Rashad, we actually have a special guest.
Oh, yeah?
Swear to God.
That's awesome.
Jeremiah Coughlin. You may know him as the on-field MC for the Portland Pickles, the champion Portland Pickles. A good little friend of mine. We golfed together at the Fangolf Classic. And he will actually be having a show at the Helium tomorrow night.
Nice.
I believe he's going on at around 8 p.m., but he's going to stop in the studio. We're going to chop up some football with him because he is a Seattle Seahawks fan. So I feel like we saved the NFL for the second hour. Talk some Hawks, talk some NFC West. We don't need to talk about the Cowboys. Nothing happened this week. I do want to get into some quarterback stuff, though, because dudes are getting paid and not delivering. So got a lot to get into, but let's go right into college football here locally. The Ducks, the Beavs. Ducks win, Beavs lose. Tell me if you've heard that before. This is Football Sunday. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, Jordan Schultz behind the glass on 1080 The Fan. The Oregon Ducks, the number one team in the land. They get a victory against the Maryland Terrapins in their first ever matchup in the history for either team. The Ducks versus Maryland.
Isn't that crazy? Like, teams can be around for 100 years and never once play each other?
I thought there might have been at least, one, but then again, you know.
That's insane.
I don't know if the Ducks ever played, like, the Ragin' Cajuns. Like, what? I doubt it.
I don't know.
What is that, Louis Lafayette?
University of Louisiana Lafayette, I think, yeah.
Who knows? I'm going to guess no.
Exactly. There's just random teams that you're never going to think of playing.
Giants score a touchdown in Hermany. So now it's,
did Daniel Jones throw it?
No, it was run by Tyrone Tracy Jr.
I'm shocked.
But the Ducks, they get a win against Maryland. Listen, I'm going to be honest, very underwhelming offensive performance. There was a lot in that game that I think went the Ducks' way because of what the defense did, whether it was giving them a short field on interception, getting a scoop and score. Underwhelming offensive game and just a lot of penalties. Very sloppy game as well. I'm glad that they had this against a team like Maryland late in the season, because the talent gap and is going to be able to help you get through this game. But I mean, they went 6-for-15 on third down. I want to say that in the second half, came out, punted right away. I started the game, the first half and the second half, both with punts. Second half was a punt and downs. I mean, listen, it's selfish to complain about a win, but it was just underwhelming. It was just felt like many times throughout that game that the Ducks were going to start putting their foot down and running away with it, and it really didn't happen until the fourth quarter. And I've said it before about this team, said it early in the season, is that this defense is going to keep them in a lot of games. And thank God for that defense. And thank God for Jordan Burch on a fake punt. Also, like 30, 40 yards on a fake punt run by him.
More yards rushing than Jordan James by the end of the game.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, again, I mean, offensively, Dylan Gabriel, which congratulations to him, setting the all-time touchdown record in college football, 179 touchdowns. I don't know if he got 180 last night.
It's going to get going up to closer to 200, right?
Well, he would have to throw 20 more touchdowns in, what is it, 4 or 5 more games, essentially.
Yeah, so, I think possibly 6, but yeah, if they get to the championship, so that's about it.
But, yeah, I mean, Ducks, they get a win. They that was one of those also kind of like the Purdue game, Michigan State game. It's like, dude, let's just get a win and get done with this game and move along. They got to go to Wisconsin next week. Camp Randall, which is going to be a tough place to play. Wisconsin is down this year. They are definitely not the Wisconsin of years past. But just going anywhere in the Big Ten this year, in your first year, you went to the big house, you went to Michigan, and you took care of business there. There's no reason you shouldn't take care of business in Wisconsin. But again, just I was left with a little bit of an appetite for more in yesterday's win.
I think I was too, like through the first half. And mind you, I didn't see like the first couple minutes of the game. I was driving back from Salem and I got a chance to start watching the game from there.
Well, it was like, you know, they had a chance to...
I saw Oregon's down 3-0 to start, and I'm like, okay.
Well, not 3 points. That was an extended drive because of a roughing the kicker.
Yeah.
So.
So, but once I saw them get going, once they had the fumble recovery, I was like, okay, there you go. And you score again. It's like, okay, that's the way you're supposed to start playing. So going into the half, I was a lot more comfortable with where the Ducks were. But I think sometime when, and you mentioned never playing Maryland before, you know, there's no familiarity at all with this team. And so you're looking at a team that has lost 3 of their last 4 games. And so I think there's a little chance that maybe Oregon was a little overzealous coming into this game, thinking like, okay,
well,
4-4. Like we beat Michigan at Michigan. We beat Ohio State. Like, we're not going to lose to this team. And Maryland at first is like, nah, we're going to give you a fight. And they did throughout the first half. They really, really fought the Ducks. And then third quarter comes and the Ducks get 8 points on the board. And it's like, okay, well, I think this game is pretty much, you know, in hand, you know, from there. But at first, you're right, there was a lot of penalties. It was the sloppiest I think we've seen the Ducks play since like maybe week 1 or 2, as far as just being able to make something happen mistake-free and play mistake-free football. Luckily, they were able to win the game. And they were able to win the game by, let's be real, they won by 21 points. So they won by a lot. You know, so whenever you beat a team by
spread
a couple.
Spread was 24.
Was it?
Dang it!
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I thought it was...
Yeah, you still got close. And in a college football game, you beat a team by 3 touchdowns, basically. Like, that's still pretty legit. So, like, I totally understand.
Good teams win, great teams cover, Rashad.
Oh, I suppose. I'm sure they're all thinking about covering for you clowns, man. But either way, I think it was another resilient win for the Ducks, especially in the second half. You look at the stat sheet, Dylan Gabriel didn't play... Or it doesn't look like he played great, right? Only 180-something yards, you know, and three touchdowns. But, you know, he kept his team in it, obviously. Some receivers, I'm not sure what we heard about. Trayshawn Holden, is he out for the while? I know he came back, put some extra padding on that leg of his and everything. But I think if anything, if the Ducks experience any type of trouble, it's going to be just making sure their receivers stay healthy for the next 4 games or so. 3 games.
Yeah, I think health, that's, you know, obviously key going into the last part of this season. What a key injury on offense or defense, how it will, you know, really change things for this team. So staying healthy. Again, I'm glad, I guess, this happened against a team like Maryland, because you go into the Big Ten championship game with a sloppy performance. I mean, 12 penalties for 95 yards. It seemed like there was one drive that they just could not get off the field. And that's how bad teams stay in games, is that they're able to keep your team, your offense off the field. And then when you're not in rhythm and you're not getting those possessions and you're not on the field as often as you like to be, that's also what you get. On the offensive side, is just looking kind of out of sync and kind of not in rhythm. And I saw that yesterday, which, again, thank God it happened against Maryland, and thank God it happened in this game, because you do not want that to happen in the game against Washington. You don't want it to happen against whoever you might play, knock on wood, in the Big Ten championship game, in the playoff game. So, you know, overall, good win on the defensive side. I think they held up their end of the bargain. And you've got two more regular season games to really shore things up and close out this this Big Ten season, regular season, before you're heading into the Big Ten championship against either Indiana or Ohio State at the moment.
Oh, yeah, hopefully they can improve on that offensive performance. 363 yards. That was the worst total offensive output for Oregon all season. And I'm sorry, I didn't think it was going to be Maryland that was going to be able to stop their high-powered attack passing-wise. But, like, Dylan Gabriel looked, even with time, a little out of sorts yesterday. And I'm assuming that was because he did not have Tez Johnson and then Marcus Harper on the line as well. They had somebody stepping in besides Cameron Pickard at the guard position. I think that worked. But for some reason, man, Maryland was able to muddy up the middle. There just was no open seam down the middle. And obviously, Tez is usually there catching those balls, but he couldn't find anybody there. He was throwing a lot more to Terrence Ferguson than he usually does. And then the running game obviously wasn't established either. And Joe, you made a great point about the defense keeping Oregon's offense off the field. And I think it was kind of a little bit of both. And you look at the time of possession, it was about 5 minutes separated at the end of the game, Maryland winning that. But up until the last possession, it was like an 8 minute separation. So really the entire game, Oregon had 2 minute driving out, 2 minute driving out. And thankfully they were able to put something together on defense with that fumble recovery for touchdown by Brandon Johnson. Otherwise the score wouldn't look as good as it does, mm-hmm. But Oregon is better than what we saw yesterday. I'm trying to remember that they did have some injuries, but I said it last night on the postgame show. It was a herky-jerky win. Somebody on the YouTube said it was a gritty win. But I know that they can play better than that. And thankfully, we heard from Dusty that Jordan James most likely going to be back. I think he was wanting to get back into the game, but coaches were just being a little bit more cautious with that. And thankfully, they got a bye week coming up after this game against Wisconsin, because it sounds like it's much needed for these guys. They're down the stretch. It's tiring.
Yeah, good timing on the bye week there. Good point there. But yeah, I mean, defense too, you got some pressure on the quarterback. That's something I wanted to see this game too, is that I feel like you've had some games this year where even with lesser opponents, you weren't able to bring their quarterback down or put as much pressure on them as you would have liked. And you were able to force three turnovers, get your first defensive touchdown of the year.
Which is crazy to say.
Yeah. Terrence Ferguson was able to get his first touchdown of the year. Also crazy to say. I know he missed a couple of games, but T-Ferg finally getting on the touchdown list. And also, let's give credit to one of the cooler drives of the year. I mean, this whole drive should be up for the Peisman. With Jordan Birch with the fake punt and rumbling for like 35, 40 yards. And then the touchdown, which gave Dylan Gabriel the record, that went to, was it Big 91?
Janoris Wilson.
Yes.
Janoris Wilson, excuse me, is his name. Don't want to get him.
He gets the touchdown.
Big six, baby.
He gets the touchdown. And then I believe it was Cornelius that got the 2-point conversion on the direct snap. I said, hang it in the Louvre the entire drive.
I love it.
Big 280 pounder pulling off the option run. That looks so
whenever
cool.
Whenever I see one of the big boys up front score a touchdown, that makes me happy. There's always a little like giggle that I do, like, that was nice. That was cool.
See, and I'm looking at the box score right now. Maybe I need to go to another website. I'm trying to see. Oh, I was in the receiving section. My bad. Yeah, Jordan Birch, 36 yards, longest run of the day, longest play of the day for the Ducks offense. Fake punt.
That's awesome. And yeah. the best part
Frame
of the day.
That and hanging in the locker, my
they
man.
They did not have many chunk plays yesterday.
The best part of the day was Sabrina Ionescu bringing the WNBA championship to Eugene. You know, that was pretty cool. So hopefully, yeah, don't do that now. Yeah, stop it. Man, that was pretty dope.
No. I'm saying, yeah, like, sorry, you took that the wrong way, or I didn't say it well enough. I thought it was really cool coming out with her former Ducky husband, Jaronis Grasu, former Duck center.
There we go.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, I love that. So hopefully, you know, this is the year for the Ducks. I've never felt so good about this team heading into postseason. You know, obviously the playoff wasn't always around, but I feel really, really good about this team. Better than I think a lot of teams I've felt, you know, as far as going into this part of the postseason.
Well, let's go into that next. We'll finish up the first hour with the Beavs, but let's just jump into the playoff talk next because we've got about 2-3 games left in this regular season before conference championship games. And want to talk about some teams that fell, that were close to falling yesterday, and who could still potentially be making the playoffs, because there's a couple teams where it's just like, really? They could end up making the playoffs? It would be bizarre to see, and then just make sense of this ridiculous SEC conference that we're seeing this year, unlike any years before. So, Bryce Young just threw a touchdown.
All right, Bryce.
That is something that can happen.
You knew you could do it.
That actually happened twice today. So good for him, as the Panthers are going to take a 16-7 lead in Germany pending extra point. But let's take a break and talk college football playoff picture after this week 11 Saturday right here, Football Sunday on The Fan. But first, Schulte with Sports Center update. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins, all on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Incorrection. Bryce Young. They call that touchdown back.
Of course they did. Thank you.
But they ended up scoring anyways. Chuba Hubbard, 1 yard. Touchdown, so it is 17-7 Panthers lead. By the way, Chris Berman still has his fastball on last NFL Sunday when he does his like fastest 2 minutes or whatever. He referred to as Chuba Hubbard as Chuba Missile Crisis.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. I watch NFL Berman primetime every single week.
Chuba
I don't
Missile
know about
Crisis Hubbard.
Oh, Berman.
I'm like so great. Now, granted, I saw that on Twitter, so that could also be a potential lie and not true at all. But I'm going with it because that definitely sounds like something Chris Berman would do.
Believe.
I appreciate it. Looking at the rest of college football, not surprised at all, and it was bound to happen at some point. I am surprised that it happened to the same team that it did last year, but Miami loses to Georgia Tech.
I was so disappointed.
Again, I'm not surprised that they lost because they have been escaping games by the hair of their chinny chin chin, and they should have lost like 3 of these games already. But, I mean, Georgia Tech, that's the team they lost to last year when Mario didn't want to kneel the ball and Georgia Tech was able to win it late. And so I thought Mario would have had this one circled on his calendar. Well, Georgia Tech, they had 2 circles on this on their calendar. They're like, hey, you know that they are going to have this one pinpointed. So we need to make sure we bring our best. And, boy, do you want to talk about a discrepancy as far as one team being able to pass the ball and one team being able to rush the ball. But Georgia Tech, daggum, they end up getting the victory and giving Miami their first loss of the season. Now, how that pertains to the college football standings and the college football playoff rankings is there is now only one remaining team that is undefeated in ACC play. Do you know who that is, Rashad?
One team remaining in ACC play, undefeated.
No, it's not Cal.
No, yes, for sure not Cal.
Stanford? No, just kidding.
I don't know. I know there's only 3 undefeated teams left, and Miami was one of them. So
the SMU Mustangs.
Yes.
All right. The death penalty. SMU.
The death penalty doesn't even matter. If you have enough money in 30 years, you can get around anything.
There's no reason they should have even still the death penalty. They shouldn't even know what that is anymore at SMU.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. I'm sure their current student body has no idea.
No. But the whole point of it is to literally, for years upon years, like, change the direction of a program. It actually had Louisiana Lafayette. We were joking about them in the first segment. Mm-hmm. They had a death penalty, I think, in basketball as well. Their basketball program has literally still never recovered. But SMU, no, they don't remember it. But it's because of all that Dallas donor money that they got.
Did Louisiana Lafayette had a basketball program to be reckoned with?
Or, hey, I mean, back in the 60s, I believe they did.
Was that a thing?
Yes. Yeah. ULL, baby.
Who could forget the Louisiana Lafayette Raging Cajuns basketball team of the 60s?
I can.
Easy. But with that being said, SMU right now, they're going to get actually in the new college football rankings. Mm-hmm. They will have a first round bye. The rankings also... When they first came out last Tuesday, it was like, wait, what? And then, you know, you're like, okay, I get it now. Because BYU, they are the leaders of the Big 12, and they were the ninth ranked team. But because they are the current conference champions, if the season ended today, they would be one of the teams that get a first round bye, which still stands, by the way, because BYU in the Holy War last night, they somehow were able to escape with a win. Rashad, this was it was ridiculous. Utah, they go into halftime. I believe they went into halftime up 21-10 on BYU and decided that they did not want to score another point on offense in the rest of the game.
Of course not. Why would you?
Do that. Not something I would suggest. You know, I would try and add on to my point total, but that's just me. BYU, though, they go up against Utah. Final drive of the game, and Utah's defense was just flustering the BYU offense for a good chunk of the game. I mean, the starting quarterback for BYU, Jake Retzlaff, the BYU Jew, by the way. Did you know that he was Jewish?
I did not.
Yeah, I didn't know that was possible, but anything is possible,
I'm sure,
as
that's
Kim Grant said.
BYU.
But Jake Retzlaff, or Retzlaff, 15 of 33 in this game. It was bad.
It wasn't great.
No. But the final drive of the game, I mean, this game was over. They got sacked, BYU did, on 4th and 18 or something like that, like at their own 1 yard line. Like, this game was over. Utah had it sealed. But oh, there's Laundrie holding defense on Utah. Automatic first down. So then that gives BYU life. And they were able to get a 10-yard penalty that put them then at the 19-yard line of Utah. Were able to complete a 30-yard pass and then a 12-yard pass to get out of bounds. They also had no timeouts left. So then they ran the ball a couple more times. They did the whole let's run a play and then run the field goal team out there. Now, they had like 40-something seconds, but they were able to get the field goal unit out there, line them up, and then, boom, 44-yard field goal for BYU with 3 seconds left to go up 22-21 in the Holy War. And they get the W over Utah in dramatic fashion. And then the athletic director for Utah just went off in the postgame, saying that game was stolen from us. I was excited to join the Big 12. I'm not anymore, he said. I'm going to write a letter to the conference commissioner. He'll be getting a stern talking to on Sunday. But doesn't change the score, bud.
Yeah, and let's just be real. If you're Utah, you've lost 4 in a row coming into this game, right?
So, but it's the Holy War.
Yeah, it is. But there's no. You should have wrote a letter 2 weeks ago
for the sake of Joseph Smith, Rashad.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You have harsh words, but I would have harsh words too if I've lost 5 games in a row at this point. But I think at this point, now mind you, did they get hosed on the left? Yes. I would say, you know, that
sucks, but also, you know, don't hold.
But yeah, but also don't hold and be better, you know, at this point. Like, it to start the season 4-0.
Don't be mad, be better. That's what my coach used to say.
Yeah. I mean, that's and essentially that's right. Like, you were better at the beginning of the season. We didn't hear anything about, you know, you being so angry at and about your entrance to the Big Ten and how excited you were when you were 4-0 to start the season, right? When you beat up on Baylor and beat up on Utah State. We weren't hearing this. And now that you've lost 5 in a row, now all of a sudden you're angry. Well, don't lose to Arizona. Where was this anger after you lost 27-19 to Arizona State? Yeah, exactly. It wasn't there. So I don't want to hear that right now. it seems like you've got a lot of things to work out moving to the Big Ten. And I would say moving to the Big Ten wasn't exactly great for Utah, but they're not losing to a lot of Big Ten teams. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, they are, don't get me wrong, but, you know, Arizona and Arizona State are schools from your Pac-12 conference that you should be beating. Southern Utah is a team that you beat, but they're not in the Big. So it's like, I don't know. I think you should be a lot better than you are, Utah. There was a lot of expectations for Utah coming into this conference because of what they were able to do in the Pac-12. So guess what? Don't want to hear your words and how angry the AD is from Utah. Sorry. Like, I get it. You got hosed. Move on. Be better next week.
What this could be setting up here, Rashad, in a couple weeks is a Big 12 championship game between the BYU Cougars and your Colorado Buffaloes.
Oh, they are my Buffs.
Colorado still has a chance to make the playoffs.
They are my Buffs, and right. I'll be real.
Cannot believe we're in this world, but we are.
Right now, the Big 12, as it stands, BYU at 6-0 in conference play, Colorado at 5-1. And then you got four teams at 4-2. So, I mean, there's still plenty of things that could happen in these last couple of weeks. Iowa State, Kansas State, Arizona State, dilly dilly, forks up, stomp the bus at 4-2 in conference play as well. West Virginia is at 4-2. So a lot of craziness could still happen here in the Big 12. And then that is only amplified when you look at the SEC because what a mess we got there. And still, I mean, this is an SEC team or SEC year unlike any other, because here we are in the second week of November, and it's anybody's ball game at this point. Right now, leading the conference at 5-1 is Tennessee and Texas A&M. What?
Yeah.
And then you got Texas at 4-1. Texas will probably just get in there, whether they win the conference or not. They'll probably get an at-large bid, is my guess. But Georgia now has their second loss in conference play. Ole Miss, they were able to bounce back after having two rough losses earlier in the season, one to Kentucky and then one to LSU. LSU actually now got their third loss of the season, second in conference play. So that, I mean, they're probably out now.
Probably.
Alabama is at 4-2 in conference play. Missouri is at 3-2.
But it's the SEC. So even with two losses, you know, I expect at least them to vault some of those teams into the playoff.
But I think, and that's going to happen, but I think if you look at the schedule, there is a possibility.
It's going to be a few of those teams.
I was going to say, it could be two lost teams. At least.
The way they sweat the SEC, and this is what we know, they truly believe the SEC is the pinnacle of college football, you know.
But it just means more.
It just means more. And so I think based on that, they're going to put a few teams in.
Well, yeah, the conference always is weird, but it lays out this season that there is a chance where I think almost every SEC team could finish with two losses, if not every single team at this point.
You got Texas, who I think is going to make it. Alabama, I think, is going to make it because they have a disgusting schedule the rest of the way. They play vaunted Mercer next Saturday.
That's going to be a barn burner.
And then they'll play Oklahoma in 2 weeks, who is one of the worst teams in the SEC this year. They have been god-awful. And then they'll also play Auburn, which as well has been one of the worst teams in the SEC. Their only conference win has been against Oklahoma. So Alabama's looking pretty good right now as far as their path to the playoff. And then Texas A&M and Texas will play in the final game of the year. That will be huge ramifications in that one. As far as Tennessee, I believe, I want to say that Tennessee has Georgia next week. Yeah, Tennessee, Georgia. That's a huge matchup right there. So still so much to be sorted out when it comes to the college football playoff. I mean, we didn't even get into the Big 12 or Big 10, but right now it's really coming down to three or four teams that could potentially win that. But still so much to be sorted out. No, so a lot
of football to be played, and there's only a few weeks left, but there's still a lot of football to be played. But I know we have to break, but hey, man, shout out to Deion Sanders. Shout out to Colorado. We remember Colorado was a losing program before he got there. Like the worst program in the Pac-12. And within 2 years, he's took a bunch of kids from HBCUs and put them on this team. And what do you know? They're sitting at 7-2 and 5-1 overall in the conference. But hey, Dion and that staff is always going to get my respect out there for what they're doing out there in Boulder.
Well, from the way that the first two games went of their season, them barely beating North Dakota State and then just getting crushed at Nebraska, I mean, it was looking like they were just going to...
It's going to be a bad year.
Yeah.
Another bad year.
Yeah. And they have rallied. I mean, their only other loss against Kansas State, that took a miracle heave towards the end of the game by Avery Johnson in Kansas State to win that game. And now, granted, it took a miracle heave from Shador Sanders against Baylor to be able to win that game. So
which
I guess
was a beautiful, which was a crazy all-time play.
So I guess it all balances out. But they got Utah at Kansas versus Oklahoma State to end the year. So there could be a loss in there, but that's a pretty nice way to end the season against three of the teams that are towards the bottom mm-hmm. in the Big 12. Let's take a break. Let's talk about the Bees real quick, but because I feel like we're obligated to, being that they are the other college.
No, we don't have to.
D1 really? College football okay. program in the state.
You but, weren't here for our Oregon State story, huh?
Oh, was it I still believe in them. I think they can rally and
hold their freedom. Oh,
hell no.
It was much different. We
got to go see the Beavs together, and it was quite the experience against UNLV.
Oh, you went to Corvo?
We did.
Yes, sir.
Corvegas?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, a lot of puking. A lot of drunk falling over.
A lot of peeing in the concessions area in
Close.
The concourse.
Close.
Literally yeah. had somebody fall onto me.
Ah, hot. So.
Right. No, because they would have hit their skull on the pavement if they didn't.
Talk about the Beavs next. Pray for them right here. Sports Sunday. Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan. Who do we not love? And that is Oregon State Beavers football because they're not going to make a bowl game. They'll probably beat Air Force next week, but right now that's not promised. And then you have to finish the season against Boise State. Have fun giving up 300 yards to Ash and Genty. And probably going to lose to Washington State as well. Go Cougs. So... and that puts you at 5-7 on the regular season, and that puts you on missing the bowl game. Yesterday, I thought they not bad little first half. I mean, they were, I believe they were leading at the end of the first half. I could be wrong.
It was 10 up at the end of the half.
Tied at 10?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. And I thought Ben Gulbranson did good enough to not lose this game. And then the second half happened. And he had to throw the ball more than any point in his career. I know that them without Jam Griffin right now, they can't lean on the run game as much with Hankerson and Ala, but... Gulbranson ended up throwing the ball, I think, like 32 times or something like that. 37? Dear God. That is a recipe for disaster at some point. Whether he is clearly improved as a passer from what we saw in the first half, but when you have to have Ben Gulbranson throw that many times in a single game, it's not going to end well for you. One of those being a pick six when they were backed up against their own touchdown, and then another one towards the end of the game. But it's bad. It's bad in Corvallis. That is what their fifth straight loss.
How? Like I'm so confused on how it's this bad when you're not playing like great teams like that, except for the UNLV running Rebels. But outside of that, you're not playing anybody. You played Oregon the third game of the season. You played Purdue. You got a win.
Boy, but they were puffing their chest against that Oregon game.
Oh, absolutely.
Leading up to that Oregon game.
Absolutely, yeah. Because you thought there was a chance. You had two games against Idaho State and San Diego State where you pretty much handled them the way you wanted to. And then they came to Corvallis and the Ducks completely boat raced you. But then you think about where the Ducks are now, and that's not super surprising. But a loss to Nevada is surprising. For a lot of people, the loss to UNLV was super surprising. A loss to Cal, like four straight losses. Like this team, you guys all know, beginning of this season, I was looking at their schedule and saying, outside of Oregon, they got a chance to really run the board. I was really confident that Oregon State would be better than all these teams they're losing to. And, you know, to my chagrin, here we are talking about the lowly, lowly 4-5 Oregon State Beavers. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Like, I want to be supportive. I'm one of those people that feels like the state of Oregon is better and a lot more fun when both of the Oregon schools are doing well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm an Oregon Duck fan Oregon Duck alum, so obviously I don't like the Beavers, but it is better when they are better. It makes things more interesting. I mean, this is just sad. I mean, in a few of these games, too, you had a chance to win it either late in the game in the fourth quarter. You either had to lead, like the Nevada game. That was one you easily could have won. I mean,
even the next week against UNLV, down to the last play, they had a chance.
San Jose State yesterday, I mean, while you gave it away at the end of the game, you at least went in tied. Ben Goldbranson was not playing terribly. Felt like you were giving he was giving yourself a chance. But I mean, the game 2 weeks ago against Cal, I mean, dear God.
Just by Cal, 44-7? Really? That's how you went out?
It's rough. It's really rough. And I don't know what you do going forward, because this is just a recipe for disaster moving forward. Like, you don't have a conference. You're playing a elevated Mountain West conference, I guess, schedule. What, this can't be appealing to recruits. Like, hey, come play at Oregon State. We're not in a major conference anymore. We're not very good. You know, Trent Bray, we'll see what remains for him going forward, but he's got a lot of work to do. And I know that it's going to be a rough season with the transfers, with the new head coach. Anybody that thought that this was going to be an 8-win, 9-win team, I mean, like, more power to you. I'm glad for the optimism.
And it's really tough to look at the schedule and say that they shouldn't have won at least 8 games. Like, I mean, considering the year that they had last year and the year that they had the year prior, 8 games was a given, right?
I mean, I looked at Javonnie McCoy's sophomore stats. I didn't think they would translate from Idaho to Oregon State, but you thought with a couple of really good running backs, maybe Jeremiah Noga, maybe Zach Card can develop into a relationship with him and they can get something going, but it was a dumpster fire.
Yeah, it's rough. Again, hopefully they win against Air Force. They can give themselves some sort of confidence going in Washington State. That is at Air Force next week, 12:30 kick on the CBS Sports Network. So, hey, at least you're not on the C-Dub this time.
No Tom Brenneman, no Thom? Darn it.
But then, yeah, you...
I think you want to be on the CW. Nobody, at least people can say that couldn't find it, couldn't watch this thing. But if they're going to be on CBS and get beat down by Air Force, like, come on, man. Like, and this, listen, Oregon State fan, I'm here with you. I want you to know that. As I look into the camera, I'm here with you. I want you to be great. First thing y'all got to start doing is recruiting kids from the state of Oregon. Stop trying to go into California and getting these 2- and 3-star kids when you got some 2- and 3-star kids right here in the state of Oregon that could be able to help you and would be probably psyched to be recruited by Oregon State. But we do a great job of not getting a lot of kids from Portland. And then you look up the road at Eugene, and there's tons of kids from Portland that are on that team. So maybe take a page out of Big Brother's book and start trying to recruit some local kids.
All right, let's take a break. Got to run outside and open the door for one Jeremiah Coughlin. He's got a set tomorrow night at the Helium Comedy Club. He is your Portland Pickles on-field MC. And he is going to come in and talk about his stand-up, talk about his Seattle Seahawks a little bit, and just catch up with Jeremiah the day before his Veterans Day show. Boy, that could go one of two ways.
It really could, depending on the crowd. It really could, and the material.
All right, we do hour number two next here, Football Sunday, 10 to the Fan. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Dude. I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games.
What are you two up to? Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Do you think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened after?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two, Football Sunday, right here on The Fan. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, Schultzy on the ones and twos. And in studio with us now, good friend Jeremiah Coughlin. You might know him from his Pickles fame of on-field emceeing, but he is a funny guy. He makes us laugh with his stand-up comedy, and he has a show tomorrow night at the Helium Comedy Club.
Yeah.
At 8?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Veterans Day.
And you know, doing the press row, the rounds, he knew that Football Sunday was something that he
had to do.
This
is where you
had
to be.
Target audience,
you know,
right here.
I saw you making some appearances throughout the city over the last week, and I was like, I'm honored. I'm honored that we're on the press run.
You made the cut.
Yeah. I know. It's great. How are things going for you, bud? You hitting the sticks? I've seen a lot more lately. It seems like every time I see on your Instagram story, you're playing golf, you're at the range. You're probably better than me at this point.
I hope so.
I would assume so.
I just
probably
started
so.
Yeah. Well, Fish is sneaky good. Joe's pretty good. I've been on a scramble team with him.
He's okay.
We had a good time at the Fan Golf Classic. Jeremiah, Parker of
very new.
Joe tends to get very lucky on the course.
Hey. I saw him almost get a hole in one.
That's true.
Luck almost did that, right?
That's true. He was there. He was in attendance for that.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. That was one of my finer golf moments. That's why I probably just should have stopped playing.
Yeah.
Because it's been all downhill since then.
Just walk away. I had one of those this week. I was playing terrible, and then I hit the pin on a par three and was like, okay, maybe I can do this. There's always one thing that keeps you.
That's right. You're telling me about
keeps
this.
Keeps you going. Yeah. I'm shanking left and right and everything. As soon as I hit one square, and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I think it's going to be a good day. It's like the 16th hole, but who cares? Like, the day's going to end well.
He's warmed up.
He's an undecided voter out there, going left, going right, doesn't know what to do.
I have no idea what to do sometime.
But Jeremiah, nice to have you in, dude.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
But we have to get down to brass tacks because
like
this is Football Sunday. I need to figure out what's going on with your Seahawks, bud.
Yeah, let's start there.
I don't know.
And listen, I'm throwing stones from a glass house because my Cowboy season is going down the toilet.
You guys
very
are bad.
Quickly.
Do you even want Geno anymore?
Well, the alternative is not any better.
Who is the backup in Seattle right
Sam
now?
Sam Howell. Yeah.
Matt Flynn.
Yeah,
we gave $17 million to Matt Flynn again. No, it's Sam Howell, who, you know, has more interceptions in the last 5 years than anybody, I think.
Not surprised. I saw him throw some god-awful interceptions last year.
Yeah, and so people say, like, oh, Geno's, you know, throwing a lot of picks or whatever. It's not going to help to go with Sam Howell.
Just say, oh, buddy, you want to see some picks.
But it's also
hold my beer. Watch
the
this.
Offensive line. I mean, our offensive line has always sucked. It sucks now. And it's you can't blame Geno for all of this. And, you know, and then Kenneth Walker was hurt. Our defense is just okay. You know, they're very undisciplined, take a lot of penalties, do a lot of dumb stuff, get a lot of, like, defensive holding, pass interference plays. It's not good, but it's not terrible.
No,
I mean, the bar was low. My expectations for the Seahawks team was pretty low, and then they've been okay, and then being in a tough conference, tough division. I don't know, man. I mean, everyone's like high on the whatever that is, the North, the NFC North with the Lions and the Bears and all that stuff. But
oh my.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't know, they're just beating up everybody else, and then when they play each other, they're not that great of games. So I don't know.
So
I think at least the games with the Seahawks and Niners, Seahawks and Rams, and even the Cardinals are kind of somehow sneaky good in a weird way. I don't know.
So tell me this, and I'm going to ask you to put on your GM hat at first, but before I do that, like, you said you had low expectations for the Seahawks. And I'm curious as why, because even last year, which was a down year, you still won 9 games. Like, it seems like Geno has had this team playing some pretty fair football. The year before that, you're in the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and then you get nine games. So why were expectations low? Because I think a lot of Seahawks fans kind of feel the same way.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that's just been ingrained in us over the centuries of being of bad.
Being the Seahawks, yeah.
Yeah, you just can't get too high on it. Even the year, you know, back-to-back Super Bowl years, the next year you're like, well, it's going to be tough out there. And a part of it is just the division, right? I mean, when you look at, like, the Rams are always a wild card, not a wild card team, but a team that you don't really know what you're going to get out of them. And then the Niners have just kind of beat the crap out of everybody. And then luckily this year, McCaffrey got hurt, so they've been a little less good, but still better than most teams. So, yeah, I think you just look at the competition, you're like, well, I don't know. And I don't know. How old is Geno?
He's got to be 32? I would think. I mean, he's been in the league for 9 years.
He feels old.
Feels like he's been here for a long time.
Much and younger than everyone in this room, but still.
He just turned 34 last month.
All right.
I'm 35.
Okay.
So put your GM hat on, and you can make two real significant changes to this Seahawks team moving forward. What would those changes be?
Get an offensive line that can block and give him more than 5 seconds would be great. Maybe, I don't know who it is. Who do you know that's an offensive liner besides Penei Sewell or whatever the guy's name is, right? The guy from Oregon?
Yeah, there's very few.
That's an offensive lineman I can name.
Call him up. Hey, you want to leave that team, please?
Yeah, I know you guys are probably going to the Super Bowl this year.
Give Jason Kelce a call, see if he wants to come out of retirement.
Yeah, there you go. Offensive line would be big, and then, you know, I don't know. The weapons are at least offensively. Like, Kenneth Walker is good.
He's legit, yeah.
Yeah, Kenneth Walker's legit. Charbonnet or whatever the other guy's name is, he's good too. I don't know. I think a tight end that's good would be amazing. Like, someone who could block and catch, you know. Maybe the other Kelce, we'll get him too. We'll get the Kelce brothers.
Fingers crossed, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy you say that because I'm thinking about, like, just skill position players. And
DK's tight end, good. Lockett's good.
Tight end is something the Seahawks haven't had really since, I would say Jimmy Graham for like that couple weeks.
You weren't getting Jimmy Graham, New Orleans Saints Jimmy Graham. Yeah.
Carlson was okay for a few years. Noah Fant isn't really like that though.
No, but Jimmy Graham was like the best tight end we've ever had. I think that's like statistically. I think in the Hall of Fame of tight ends for the Seahawks, he's it.
Now the Seahawks, let's take a look at their old.
I know
their
that's
old. They're sketchy here. They get a get their bye week this week.
Yeah, don't gotta watch them lose this week, baby.
But then you come right back and you play at the 49ers. You play Cardinals, Jets, Cardinals, and then you have three straight NFC North matchups after that: Packers, Vikings, and Bears. And then you'll finish the season with the Rams. So I mean, outside of maybe like the Jets, who their season started to go in the tank, it is, divisional games, you never know what the hell's going to happen there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you have to play three NFC North teams, which the Bears, Well, I was going to say, about another team that could start falling apart here soon is the Chicago Bears.
They were good for a second, like, okay.
Well, then they had the Hail Mary game against the Commanders,
yeah.
And then they lose the game after last week against the Cardinals, where their offense looked inept. So, I mean, the Bears, that could easily be a winnable game towards the end of the year. I'm with you, Jeremiah, though. At the beginning of this year, I said that the Seahawks were probably going to finish last in this division. It was first-year head coach.
I know. I was here. We were right here in this room. We did the
NFC West preview.
Yeah,
that's
and you
right.
said we were going to be the worst, and I said I think we'll be in the top three.
you're close.
Yeah.
You're close.
Well, and it's, the Cardinals
are still bad. The Rams aren't good.
Well, I thought the Cardinals would be better this year, and it didn't take a whole lot to be better because they won four games last year. But you're getting a full season out of Kyler Murray. I think
he's been playing really well.
And I do think they like their head coach, Jonathan Gannon. And then the Rams, as long as you have McVay and Stafford for the most part, and then they got healthy with getting Puka, Nacua, and Cooper Kupp back. And then the 49ers, even when they're not healthy, they're still tough to beat.
Yeah.
So
they get Christian McCaffrey back today, is it?
Yep. Yes. He's off the injured list.
Yes. Yeah. So NFC West, I mean, hell, right now the Cardinals are the leaders in the clubhouse.
5-4, 4-4, 4-4, 4-5.
That's it's anybody's ballgame.
Yeah.
It's anybody's ballgame.
That's wild. That's wild. But Seahawks, yeah, they get the break, and then they'll have to go and take on the 49ers next week. But
I'm putting money on the Commanders.
Today?
Just so overall, to win the Super Bowl.
To win? Know. Dear God.
I just love them.
You animal.
I don't know.
You absolute animal.
I'm not far behind you. I mean, I'm not saying I don't think they'll win, but I mean, they got a great defense. They've got a quarterback who is just... He doesn't know that there's...
Stuff.
I think you got a team in the Commanders. They don't know they're not supposed to be good right now.
Yeah.
But... They're just out there just playing football and just having some fun. So I like this Commanders team all of a sudden.
Well, I think that Dan Quinn, his time with the Cowboys really molded him well into being an even better head coach. So you're welcome, Washington, for his Cowboys stint.
Well, Cliff Kingsbury, too, I think, gets some credit for the way he's handling Jaden Daniels, right?
Oh, I'll give him a little bit.
Well, he handpicked Kyler Murray. I mean, you heard him say before the season, and then I think again before they played the Cardinals, that, yo, I pinned my career on a guy like Kyler Murray. I still think he can be successful. So to hand him the keys to somebody like Jaden Daniels with that offense, and my theory is that they could win a Super Bowl this year if they, like, just play out of their asses the rest of the season. But past that, this is an adjustment league. Right, they will figure out Jaden a little bit, and next year is not going to be nearly as successful for him.
Well, they hope.
If Commanders have a little
year,
window.
If he wins this year, then what does all that matter? It doesn't really matter. So
yeah,
well, he's not going to.
Well, we'll see.
I'm telling you right now.
We'll see. Russell Wilson, Cowboys guy.
Russell Wilson's second year where he just goes nuts, and people are like, where did this guy come from?
Mm-hmm. Nobody saw that coming.
All right, let's take a break. Let's just talk some more NFL with Jeremiah here. We're also going to make some picks at 9:30. We have our pick segment. Who do you love?
So
you can lose some money.
Yeah, I'll
with
put
us.
Them in my DraftKings right now.
There you go. There you go. Next here, more NFL stuff with Jeremiah Coughlin. He's got stand up tomorrow night at the Helium Comedy Club at 8 o'clock Football Sunday, right here. 1080 the Fan. All right, some more football stuff because it is Football Sunday. Jeremiah Coughlin here in the studio with us. He is stand up tomorrow night, 8 p.m. at the Helium Comedy Club.
Yeah.
On Veterans Day, which I told Rashad before you came in. I was like, that can go one of two ways.
Do you have any cool Veterans Day jokes, or do you steer clear of
That was a cool joke. Someone in the audience, they say that after.
They stand up and they salute.
Hell yeah, brother.
No, I don't have any. I don't do political jokes. I don't do military jokes. I don't do anything like that. But if you are a veteran and you want to come to the show, you get half price tickets. So
how about
we did
that?
That's
really cool.
So VET50, VET50 at checkout.
Just 50%, brother?
It's on the honor system.
That's it?
I'm sure there'll be some stolen valor out there. Somebody.
A little bit.
I don't care.
Can I wear my camo Dallas Cowboys sweatshirt?
Please do. Sit right in front, too.
So, funny story about
so roast you
about that is my dad, he has like a camo Dolphins sweatshirt. He's a Dolphins fan. And he was at Walmart or something like that, and this lady at the checkout stand was like, oh, thank you for your service. And he's like, oh, no, this is – I didn't serve, you know, but this is just Dolphin sweatshirt. He's like, my dad and my brother, though, they served. And she's just like, oh, well, thank you for your service. And he's just like – Are you
cool, that, man? I appreciate it
for being a Dolphins fan.
Yeah, right.
The sacrifices you've made,
and there's some major sacrifices to being a Dolphins fan.
The pain
you know?
Your family's been through.
Yeah, absolutely. For everything you've been through. Yeah,
the Wanstead years.
Oh, God.
Yeah, for everything you've been through, you deserve it. I salute you for remaining a Dolphins fan.
It was one of those where he's like, "Were you listening at all? You there, lady?
Oh, people. No, Walmart. Mostly they're not."
You never know what you're going to get at Walmart.
So now, around Veterans Day, any sort of military conversation we have, I just say to my dad, I'm like, oh, by the way, thank you for your service.
I love that.
But no, he did not serve. And yeah, it's probably a good idea. Stay away from the military jokes on Veterans Day. Unless they're tasteful.
Yeah.
We'll or you do a nice little USO dance number.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Wear some scantily clad clothes there. Some,
ow!
Some fishnets or something like that.
That's not a bad idea.
Give me a little jazz.
I think people will be into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hot.
Think about it.
I was going to say NFL. Yes, a segue out of that. What I have to ask, I mean, you being a Seahawks fan, I would assume that your most hated team is probably 49ers.
Yeah, I don't like them.
That's
yeah.
your most hated team?
Yeah.
Is there a team out in the league that is like outside of the NFC West, NFC what, that you also root for? Like, is there an ancillary team? Like, do you have an AFC team?
The Patriots.
No. My whole family.
Yeah, as a Seahawks fan, I'm sure he loves rooting for the Patriots.
Yeah, my whole family is from over there, though. So, like, my cousin has season tickets to the Patriots.
Hey, Jeremiah, remember that pick?
Yeah, I know.
Just calls you every year.
I had to wear some Patriots gear, and I think I had to buy them. I had to buy, on that game, I had to buy New England Patriot Super Bowl champion pint glasses. Mm. One for him and one for me, and I still have, it's still in my cupboard every day. I open my cupboard and I see that.
You spit your chew in there?
Mm-hmm. You're dead. Yeah, I'm like, screw these guys. Yeah. No, not a Patriots, but I do root for most of the rest of the Boston teams because of that. Like, my family has all grown up being Boston fans.
Yeah, wow, my wife is a
Boston. Wrapping up here, Football Sunday.
It's fine.
Thank you so much, Jeremiah.
You know. but then I actually grew up as a Packers fan.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
God, man.
You know. Reggie White. I liked Reggie White a lot.
Reggie White was the man.
Yeah. Yeah, Brett Favre. You know, when that
a
all
likable
came about.
Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
Back in the day. Just high on perks and doing what he's got to do.
Not stealing money.
Kind of brown, Brett Favre. You remember that? Like, that guy was cool.
With those snug Wranglers on.
From Mudflat, Mississippi or wherever he was from. Yeah.
And his copper fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have an old-timey cheesehead that was from the early 90s when they first really started doing that.
Get a copper fit cheesehead.
Dope.
How about copper fit cheesehead.
Yeah. I think that's got some sort of
doctor recommended
some sort of scientific properties to that.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't what I was hoping to hear.
What did you want? Did you want me to say the Cowboys?
I don't know. I wanted something.
You kind of wanted you to say the Cowboys.
How does anybody root for the Cowboys?
No, I knew that.
Joe Simons is a Cowboys.
You're
fan.
11 years old is when you root
Joe's
for the Cowboys.
Smart, I know.
Like most of us,
Joe's a smart cookie. I mean, you can tell by his first name already.
If you're if you live in Sweden or something, then I get it. You're like, oh, this is what American football is. But if you grew up here, right? I mean, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Portland, or Portland adjacent.
Yeah, how do you end up with the Cowboys? Just because
they were good in the 90s and I was a child.
Yeah.
That's usually how things go.
You do some blow with Leon Lett.
Wire stabbing people with scissors with Michael Irvin.
I was a huge Cowboys fan growing up as well, just because Michael Irvin and Deion Sanders and obviously the whole team
flashy.
Was like, man, they were super, super cool. I remember in third or fourth grade, I have this, my school picture, and I'm wearing this dope ass Cowboys short sleeve hooded sweatshirt. Mm-hmm. Super cool.
Oh, like a Belichick kind of thing?
Kinda, yeah.
Cut the sleeves off.
But the sleeves were white and the shirt was blue with this big star, and it was with the white hood. It was super dope.
Well, we were talking about the international games earlier, and there's actually some they started this initiative a couple of years where teams can start marketing their teams in different countries to sort of plant their flag in that country.
Oh yeah.
So the Dolphins, they're trying to recruit Argentinians to be Dolphins fans.
Oh, I like that.
The Seahawks, I see on this list, in a few countries, they're trying to get the Austrian folks.
Okay.
They're trying to get some of the Canadians.
I was going
to
say, man, I'm shooting for all over Canada.
Yeah, to get the BC area. Yeah,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also on
they
here.
They have their own football there, but yeah.
Yeah,
the roof sucks. Okay.
That is true. There is a CFL. They're trying to get Germany as well. From what I understand, Germany actually does have a pretty solid Seahawks contingency.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they did play there.
Yes.
Right? They played there a couple years ago.
Yeah, I want to say that there was clips coming out of there that there was a whole bar that was just overrun by Seahawks fans out there at one point.
Yeah, the fascinating thing to me is the Jacksonville, England thing.
Ugh.
Well, if there's one thing London is known and England is known, it's for their Jaguars. It's for their their big cat.
But you population. Know what? So we went over. We actually went to the baseball games that they did there.
Ah, that's cool.
Two seasons ago, Cubs and Cardinals played in the soccer stadium.
Yeah,
and every person from there that I asked, you've been to the States? They'd all been to Disney World, so they've all been to Florida. Like anybody who's been to the States, they've either been to New York or they've been to Florida.
In Orlando.
Yeah.
Random. That's America.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was like, okay, that makes sense. Like they go to Disney World. So Florida, Jacksonville, it does kind of like track after a while. You start to get it. But I mean, they need something.
Well, it's a logistical thing, too. I think the Panthers being Germany's team and the Jaguars being the London team, it just makes sense, like, lengthwise. Right? It's like a 5-6 hour flight for both of them, I think.
Yeah.
Have either of you ever been to Jacksonville?
No.
Boo.
Yeah.
Like, there's a Waffle House. There's
yeah.
another Waffle
that's
House.
That's the claim to fame.
That's pretty
they
much
built
it.
Two so they could be like, let's not go to that one. Let's go to the good one.
We go to the nice one over here where Bill's working.
We're lousy with Waffle Houses out here in Jacksonville. Seahawks, they also try to recruit the Switzerland population.
The Switzerland. Land of the Swedes.
The Swiss. You guys caught me. Yeah, I was almost about to say, oh, yeah, the Swedes over there in Switzerland.
I actually had a buddy that said that once, and he wasn't joking. Because my friend was going to Switzerland.
That's what they are, right?
And he goes, oh, yeah, Switzerland, land of the Swedes. And it's like, no, you're an idiot.
I love Swiss cheese.
Hey.
That is the Dutch, right?
No, that's the Netherlands.
See, how does that make sense?
Yeah, there's no country called Dutchland.
Yeah.
No.
But I mean, there's Deutschland.
I was going to say, there's Deutschland. Yeah.
This has gone off the rails quick.
Oh, I'm sure there's people listening to it like, God, these guys are complete idiots. The UK, the Steelers only want Northern Ireland.
Mm.
And I think that's because of their owner, Rooney.
Yeah.
And I'm just making some assumptions purely based off of that last name there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there is some connection there.
That is an interesting like corner to take. You're like, we'll take these guys.
What country would you want the Seahawks to go to next?
Djibouti.
What? Yeah. How's it going over there in Botswana?
Yeah.
What are they up to?
Egypt. We could do Egypt, though. That'd be cool if they put the 12-man flag on top of the pyramid.
That'd be dope.
See?
Also, I do want to
photo op.
I do want to ask, over under 10 years when you see a game played in Saudi Arabia, because you know it's coming.
Yeah. I mean, that's the big thing, right?
You know what's going to happen.
The UFC and everybody else is like trending towards that and taking the money.
Dude, people are gonna lose their ass when that happens.
Yeah,
and then they'll still watch
in the morning. Yeah, to watch the game. Go for it.
Yeah, Donald will be there.
Oh yeah, walking
show
out.
Up.
Yeah, it was best coin flip.
A lot of great people here.
It was the best coin flip. They saved my wrist and my thumb.
I love your little hats.
You know the stadium actually looks beautiful. I've seen it. It's beautiful. It's gonna be great.
Yeah. I love your little hats.
All right.
Under's going to hit, baby.
You better
I can tell.
Hope.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
Well, are they just trying to kneel the ball out? You know, I want to see some drama here.
The Giants have the ball with 17 seconds left, so.
17-14, Panthers
they can
lead.
Tie it. Yeah, if they tie it, we're hosed, though, yeah.
The Giants have no timeouts, though. That's the other thing, is do they try and run up a play or run a play real quick, spike it, try and get some more yards, send this thing to OT? Let's give the Germans some OT, some free football, huh?
They deserve
it. Why not? Yeah, they've been through. You know, why not?
What?
All they've been through.
Yeah, why not give them some free football?
Yes, yes. Yeah, those tough lives.
They deserve it so much.
Have lived. Let's take a break. Let's make some picks. For the love of God. Who do you love next here? Football Sunday, but first, Schulze with the Sports Center update. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, it's time for Who Do You Love? Rashad did not give me picks last week. That bum.
Man, I couldn't feel my head last week. I mean, my whole everything was not working.
A winner doesn't make excuses, Rashad. All right.
I was a loser.
Coffee's for
week.
Closers.
You could have had a 3-0
I hate coffee.
Week.
How about that, Jordan?
All right. You could have had a 3-0 week and you chose not to.
I still can. I can tell you exactly who I thought was going to win last week.
Yeah, I bet. Let's go.
I can tell you right now, I had Detroit over Green Bay last week.
Okay.
Right? I had Minnesota over Indianapolis last week. and I had Washington over the Giants. Boom. That's three. I think I won, right?
Did you have spread or money line?
I didn't pick any of those things. Do not put those down for me, man.
What are you talking about? The Commanders did cover the spread against the Giants. So that would have been really? A good one. I believe I picked that one, though.
But I'm going to have some integrity and say, I didn't choose anything last week, fellas. I didn't get out of bed till like 1:30.
Now I'm going to have to do, at the end of the year, we're going to have to base this off of win percentage.
There you go. There
Thanks.
You go.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Me, on the other hand, last week, perfect 3-0 week. Dolphins covering 6.5. Chargers... blowing the Browns back out, covering the 2. And Patriots, Titans should not have hit the under, but it sure did, of 38.5. So go 3-0. Jordan, you got your Commanders to cover 4. You got your Rams to cover 1.
Yay.
And then Josh Jacobs did not score a touchdown. So you go 2-1 there.
They ran their backup running back in the fourth quarter into the end zone. What the hell were Green Bay doing?
I know. You should have called them. You should have rang down from the press box to give LaFleur the play call.
And the worst thing to happen to betting in the NFL is
you effed up my parlay, bro.
They did. Mm-hmm. They absolutely effed up my parlay. That was my hook.
So current standings, your boy 12-8-1, Rashad at 8-9-1 with no picks made last week.
I'm right there.
And Jordan at 9-11-1. I'm going to get things started here, and I am going to go. Now, the game is in Jacksonville, but I'm going to go Vikings cover the 7. They have no Trevor Lawrence, which, quite frankly, didn't really matter for the Vikings or for the Jags too much this season. But they got McCorkle Jones at quarterback today.
Who?
McCorkle Jones.
That's a real name?
Mac Jones.
Oh.
You know your boy.
His name is McCorkle.
His name is McCorkle.
Well, it's Michael.
There's no way we should have ever drafted this person.
Michael McCorkle Jones is his name. So
call me Mac.
Yeah, I'm going with the Vikings to cover the 7 points against the Jaguars for my first pick.
Well, I'm going with Chicago hosting the New England Patriots today. I'm going over under the over under is 38.5, which is actually the lowest over under of any game on the schedule this week. I'm taking the under. The Patriots haven't scored more than 23 points all season, and only twice this season have the Bears scored at least anywhere over 24. I'm looking at two offenses that are just bleh. So for that, I'm taking
what an adjective.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm taking the under 38.5.
Over 38.5.
I'm taking under.
Under 38.5. Yeah. All right, you got it. Locked in, bud.
Automatic lock. Call me. First pick's free. I love going 7-0 on a recorded line.
Schultzy, what you got?
This is a trap game. I know it is. It's Detroit on the road against Houston as a 3-point favorite. I think that is way too little points. Did Houston all of a sudden get Stephon Diggs back and Nico Collins like in the same game? Because last week, Houston had no offense, and I'm confused as to why they're going to this week. Do I think Detroit's going to score 50-plus points again? No, but I think they beat the Texans by more than 3. I might, if I were y'all, I might push this down to 2.5 and take some slightly less decent odds, but I'll take -3 Detroit.
-3 Detroit. Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Where are you going, bud?
Well, I mean, if we can move the line, then I'm moving the line on Indy. Indy up to like 7.5.
Oh my god!
It's 4 right now. I think
you animal.
Yeah, that'd be a good long shot. I think Indy. I think they might cover 4. I don't know. It's a trap game for the Buffaloes.
Indianapolis covering. That's one of those weird ones where you see that line. My algorithm is pretty simple. Take my natural instinct, and if the public is going with that, then it's not going to happen. And right now, that is the Bills. Like, I see that where it's like, oh, Colts? Only 4.5-point dogs?
Yeah.
I was like, that's weird. Yeah, take the Bills to cover. And then I see Bills are one of the most public bet teams this week. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I feel like the Colts could somehow cover that with old man Joe Flacco.
Yeah, and, the running game's been good. We'll see.
And that is why I am going to go with the Bills covering 4.5. Listen, Joe Flacco, he has had his moments this year. In fact, that game earlier in the year when he threw for like 350 yards against the Jaguars, and I lost the bet because the Jaguars secondary decided they did not want to play defense in the second half. But I think the Bills are starting to lay their claim as one of the best teams in the NFL, in the AFC. And I just don't think they want to play with their food in this one. So I'm going Bills minus 4.5 to cover.
I'm going to look at the Buccaneers versus the 49ers today. Let me see what the spread is. I just had it real quick. Spread is 6.5. Christian McCaffrey coming back. I think that's a huge, huge help for this 49ers team that's just been all banged up and beat up for most of the season. So I'm taking the 6.5.
49ers, 6.5.
Yes,
huh?
Sir.
All right. Well, I'll mark that red for a loss right there.
Hey, I got faith. CMC is back.
Jordan.
I'm going to go Atlanta on the road against Nollins. They just fired their head coach. Thank God. And Dennis Allen, he was horrible.
Took too long.
Oh my God, yeah, it did. It's like, why isn't Alvin Kamara scoring more touchdowns? What the hell are you doing? But I don't think that they're going to have a great game today. I think Kirk Cousins and the Falcons are doing all right, and 3.5 is a small number, so I take the Falcons to cover that.
You don't think they're going to get the interim coach push?
They could.
Hey, we're going to care about this season for one game since we fired our coach?
I would hope some teams figure out that might happen, that are going into a team against an interim coach for the first game, so maybe Atlanta planned for that. Maybe, but they could be stupid and didn't.
Jeremiah.
Let me get this back in front of me. I think I'm going to stick with the Commanders. Commanders at 1.5. I think they get it done.
Left hand up. Who are we? Go Commanders?
Yeah.
Against who are they playing today?
The Steelers. Yeah,
the Steelers?
Russ,
yeah. Oh, God.
It's going to be a good one.
I think it'll be a good game. Yeah.
Hard-hitting game.
I have a rule of thumb. Don't bet against Mike Tomlin.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, Brandon Sprague. Don't do that.
That is a tough one right there. I think I've lost multiple bets this year betting against Mike Tomlin and the Steelers. As the Panthers line up for a field goal. Here you go.
I know, but that doesn't win it.
No.
No, it does not.
But I'm just saying that works out well for you, because then if they make a stop on this defensive possession, that's a W for you, Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
You're good.
And I, now,
against my better judgment, I'm going to go with the Eagles to cover 7 points.
Ooh,
look at you.
Because the Eagles, they somehow don't cover against teams they should cover against. That happened earlier this year with the Browns. Actually, I think that was it. Oh, the Giants already had a chance, Jeremiah. You win.
Done.
Oh, that was it.
Look
that
at
was
you.
It. The Giants had the ball. We never even saw it.
My God.
They won the toss.
Well, that's what happens with Daniel Jones as a quarterback.
Let's go.
Dear God.
The under.
But, yeah, I mean, Cooper Rush, Cowboys, the season's falling apart. This team's falling apart. Yeah, they get Micah Parsons back today, but I don't care. This is going to be a bad, ugly game. I feel like the Eagles smell blood in the water in the NFC East. I know the Commanders are still there. But after what they did with to the Bengals a couple weeks ago, again, they should have covered against the Jags last week. How they didn't, I do not know. They should have covered against the Browns a few weeks ago as well. It's a weird team, but you're playing a Cowboys team that is being left for dead right now and in a bad spot. So Eagles covering 7.
I'm also going to look at that Pittsburgh and Washington game. Pittsburgh the last 3 weeks has just been kicking ass, man, putting up 30 points a game in these last 3 wins. Washington, not 30 points a game, but also still been kicking people's ass. The over-under is 45.5. I'm taking the over in this game.
That's a good one.
Steelers, Commanders, over. What was the number?
45.5.
45.5. All right. And Schultzy, your last one.
Yeah, I'm going Broncos Chiefs over 42 points. And this is basically just literally looking at the numbers. They're getting about 10 possessions each team. I think the Chiefs are going to score a bunch. And I think the Broncos can score with Bo Nix under center under the right conditions. And they can score a lot. So 42 seems like a lower number. Over 42. Chiefs, Broncos.
And Jeremiah, give us the 12th winner of this segment.
We're giving you a 12-0 picks.
Yeah, I'm going to go with it. I actually saw this was on DraftKings yesterday, and then it's gone now. But I'm going to take the over on the Detroit-Houston game, which is at 49.5.
There was a
bet that any team would score, one team would score 50 points, and I think it might be Detroit. I think they score 50 points.
They got the power to do it. They got the pieces.
They put up 50 themselves?
Yeah.
They've done it the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
Did they do that again? I know they did it against Tennessee. They didn't do it last week.
Against Green Bay, no.
No,
but it was they scored a lot of points, though, than the week before. They've been scoring points, like, out of their booties.
So I'll take the over for combined. I think that game will go over 50 points by itself.
All right. Again, that's 12 winners right there.
I love it.
Even though I think that me and Jeremiah gave two that contradict each other with the Bills and Colts, but somehow they'll both hit. I don't know how.
But I remember I said I'm moving it up to 6.5.
Oh, that's true. There you go. So 12 winners. Hit it. 12 and 0 right there. All of those picks. All right, let's finish up the show and let's pay tribute, shall we? Finish up Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. All right, final segment here. Got a couple minutes left. Jeremiah Coughlin in the studio with us. He's got a stand-up show tomorrow night at the Helium Comedy Club at 8 o'clock. Veterans, 50% off?
50% off for veterans. There you go. Monday, 8 o'clock. And then I'm also, if you have Washingtonian listeners, Friday I'll be in Vancouver at the RV and Style Convention Center.
The Convention Center. That's right. I heard that. Not the amphitheater.
Yeah. That's with my sober, we were talking about that earlier. I don't drink or do drugs anymore, so we do comedy that's like, you know. No alcohol.
My name's Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Hi, Jeremiah.
Exactly.
And here's a joke.
That. Yeah. So come to that, too.
Are you from this area?
I grew up in Kennewick, Washington.
Okay. So perfect.
Yeah.
So you grew up possibly listening to some Blazers basketball on the radio.
Yeah.
So then you are familiar with one Brian Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. Jordan, he sent out a text last night. I'm glad that he sent it as a reminder. But we lost Wheels this week.
Yeah, I heard that on my way in. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, that's total bummer, man.
I mean, that's a bummer.
His voice, his calls. I remember as a young, sparky 18-year-old working at the Sherwood Safeway. And him coming in and me doing my job as a cashier saying, can I see your ID, sir, before you purchase this alcohol? And he handed the ID over and I saw the name on there and I was like, wait, Brian Wheeler. I was like, Wheels? D. Wheels? And he was very coy about it, very humble.
But that was
a starstruck moment right there.
Mm-hmm.
We're meeting Brian Wheeler for the first time and talking and I just, you know, did the whole love your calls, love you calling the Blazers, you're awesome, just, you know, wax poetic straight to him. And then he's like, all right, can I have my food, please?
I'd like to get on with my day.
Yeah. There's a line forming, sir. We got to move this along.
Yeah, I got a chance to meet him once as well. I got a chance to sit in for Dusty doing the USA versus, you know, world game that happens, you know, every year.
Yeah.
And just, you know, he just happened to be there. And so we're in the press spot of, you know, the Blazers Arena or of the Moda Center. And I just happened to see him sitting there, you know, getting some foods and drink. And it's like, excuse me, Brian Wheeler? So, yeah. It's like, man, thank you. I'm a big fan, you know, have been since I was a kid, man. So I know your voice, you know, better than I know a lot of other sports, you know, sports media. He's like, oh, thank you. Very humble guy. Like I said, very coy. You know, it wasn't like, oh, yeah, I mean, I'm the man here.
Yeah, he I'm
like,
swag.
Yeah, that's not like that. Yeah, but he was super, super cool. And, you know, that boom shakalaka and, you know, hearing all those calls that are just so synonymous with like Portland basketball, man, he's going to be missed. He was really, really good at what he did. And it's hard to keep people's attention, like doing play-by-play on the radio. And he was absolutely, it's a one-man show, you know, in most cases doing that. Like, he was great and he's going to be missed. He was definitely one of the voices of Portland. So definitely going to miss you, Wiz.
I got the chance to work with him early in my career. And this breaks my heart. Like, this is one of the reasons I got into broadcasting. He is just the voice of a Blazers fan generational, like, I mean, from 98, 99 when he took over until when he left in 2019, he was the best NBA play-by-play voice, period. True. And there's no conversation other than just saying that. And I just cannot believe he's gone. And it is just, I don't really know what to say other than I'm going to miss him terribly. And I appreciate everything he did for me, because I am broken up about this. This is a tough loss.
Favorite moment listening to him was the Brandon Roy playoff game against the Mavericks.
I even remember that.
Yeah, I was. That was one where I was in the car driving back home from work during that fourth quarter, and man, that he made that moment amazing that I would never forget. Yeah, rest in peace, Brian Wheeler, one of the all-time greats.
It's like a Dave Niehaus kind of thing, exactly. Too, you know, like everybody that I know here, like Danny Meringue, Joe Simon, like anybody that's in sports broadcasting now, like can point to Brian Wheeler as 100%. Like something that like got them into it.
And
that's
the GOAT.
That's incredible.
From one Portland great to another, Jeremiah Coughlin. Go out, see his show tomorrow at the Helium Comedy Club.
It's going to be fun. Yeah.
8 p.m. And then, again, your Vancouver show.
Yeah, Friday, 8 p.m. also. Perfect. At the RV in Style.
And then if you can't catch him at either of those, go and catch him out at the Pickles game.
Pickles
on the field
games. Follow me on Instagram, Jeremiah Coughlin.
What is it, Pickles games? They'll start back up in June?
Yeah, May, like Memorial Day is kickoff for that.
Gotcha.
So I'll be there.
Can't wait. Thanks for coming in today, dude.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Appreciate you, always.
For Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, thank you as always.
My guy, good to see you, bud.
Yes, sir. Jordan Schultz, thank you as always.
Appreciate y'all. Love y'all.
Everybody have a great Sunday, and you can turn on Red Zone now. We're about to kick off Sunday NFL action. Thanks for listening to Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan. Peace. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.